Welcome to Ain't Slayed Nobody. This is an actual play podcast intended for adults and may contain material that some people find disturbing. Please see the episode notes for content warnings and listen with care.
I have an idea for this, but I'm going to pick up with Moira and Roland. Are we stumbling on a clue today, or are we inviting the question?
I think while I would normally, I think, totally open up to a question, I think because we're in public baths that we should stumble on a clue.
Great opportunities to find things, yeah.
Gosh, well, there's probably all sorts of folks here, right? Maybe there can be someone who saw something from the Limehouse Liquor, like someone like fleeing the scene of the crime, like where a dead body was left, and they're telling a friend about it.
This toddler covered in blood.
yeah, like they're
a little kid, possibly drenched in blood.
maybe that person's child ran away, you know, in shock or something. Or
oh, maybe they saw like where they're going. They ran into or toward somewhere.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it can be kind of general. It doesn't have to be like a specific address, obviously.
Mm-hmm. But like down a certain alley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You saw a child covered in blood was seen running down a particular alley. I think that's enough for the clue for now. You can give it context later when you need to.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Raleigh had been trying to get close to somebody he thought was giving him eyes, and then they start talking about the toddler covered in blood, and he goes back. He retreats.
Indeed. I love it. From there, we'll pick up with 18 St. James's Street. The two of you freshly scrubbed and
yes,
smelling as sweet as one can in London, I suppose, at this time. And we're here back in this middle class neighborhood. No sign of Constance, blessedly, I'm sure. Let's paint the scene a little bit. How has the exterior of 18 St. James's Street changed since the events of a few days ago, particularly Irma's strange behavior and outburst?
Perhaps more locks put into place.
Oh, so they have to like undo more locks. Yeah, that's interesting.
On the porch, there are a bunch of like baby trinkets and toys, like they've been moved out of the house.
As perhaps rumors have spread around the area as to strange things happening here, some of the neighborhood kids have just started throwing stones through the windows, and there are a number of boarded up window panes.
And Irma was the cook, correct?
Yeah.
She went back to work, but the house kind of weirdly smells a lot like smoke. Like someone who isn't a cook has been trying to take over some of the cooking duties, and there's a little bit more like disarray on the inside. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. She's kind of like bed rest right now. Yeah. Fantastic.
Is it fair to assume, Josephine, that Moira told Roland what happened with the baby and everything?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I would assume on the walkover, right? Like that there's some sort of discussion of like.
But you didn't recognize Irma, right?
No, because I hadn't met. No, I've never been here. Yeah.
But together, we can put this together.
Yeah, I described what she looked like I helped this woman who came out of Hargrave House. Yeah.
Well, so what's your approach then to this part of the investigation? Are you just going straight up to the door or what's going on?
They know me here. I can go up if you want to do something secretive. I can run cover for you or we can go in together.
Secret. I can try. Yes, I can be secret.
I just need to warn you before we go in. They've got a really beautiful clawfoot bathtub, so don't get distracted.
Noted.
It's like it's carved from one piece of marble. It is beautiful. Anyway, knock, knock.
There is a lengthy series of chunk, 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 chunk.
Oh, you knock. I jump into the bushes.
Okay, you were going to do something secret.
Very well. So Moira's sort of surreptitiously, and you were going straight up. I like that. Mr. Kessler, Mr. Beale answers the door. You assume it's Mr. Beale. You have not met him yet, but
right,
he has a patchy beard. He's even right away, you can tell he's a very nervous, fiddly type. And he opens the door and he says, yes, hello, hello. And there's like a waft of smoke. And he's like, and he hollers down, Alice, I think you need to take that pot off the stove. Yes, I think it's done, dear. I'm very sorry.
Sorry, it's a bad time, but I was actually coming by to follow up with. Are you Mr. Beale, I presume?
Oh, you're the American.
Yes, that's what everyone calls me, Roland Kessler. Yeah,
the American who came by looking into our little ghost problem.
Yes, how is that going? He just steps in, lets himself in.
I'm gonna try to rush in behind.
Okay.
He's like, oh, hello. Yes, well, you know, it's...
Were you trying to be unseen? Yes. Like running? Okay.
I think he sees you.
Yeah, I think so too. Okay.
Amazing.
I don't think there's no stealth going on here at all. He says, Mr. Kessler, was it?
Yes.
It has been something of a complication in our household. I will completely fess up to that. It was probably not a wise idea to sell our story to the Illustrated Police News. Alice did try to warn me about that, but...
Yes.
Well, you know, they were... It's, Mr. Kessler, of course, I'm perfectly happy to accept your help with this matter and whatever organization you work for, but I have to ask a question of grave import.
Yes, sir.
Is it going to cost us anything? Scotland Yard is free, you know. It's one of the chief benefits of Scotland Yard.
We conduct these investigations for the benefit of Londoners. We will not charge you. No. What is it you do for business, Mr. Beale?
Oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And at this point, you see like a 10-year-old boy like running down the stairs. Bum, 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 this little kid. And Harold says, Roger, be careful. He's dressed in like a little sailor's outfit, you know, and he runs down there and he's like, are you a ghost hunter?
Oh, hey there, Captain. I didn't see you. Yes, yes, we are. And he pulls in Ms. Ennis.
Yes, we are. Have you seen some ghosts?
I have. Come with me. And he grabs you, Miss Ennis, and is like pulling you up the stairs.
Great.
Yeah. She goes running up.
And we'll pick up the scene in a moment.
Okay.
Ms. Archer, you got a miss on your night move, correct?
I did. Like the missiest of all misses.
You can see now as your eyes adjust to the dark, you can see now that this small face has a look of wide-eyed, tremulous terror. And you can also see that this small face is actually peering out of the split stomach of a man floating in the darkness. This man, it's unclear what his condition is, but he's not wearing a shirt. His belly is split open, and the little boy's face is peering out of the wound as if he was in the belly. And he says, I don't know what to do anymore. And then his little hands from inside the belly pull open the stomach, and a spray of guts and blood spatters down atop you, covers you, drenches you. The body falls down on the ground, and it's just a big, wide open, empty, bloody cavity. No sign of the child.
If I can put on the mask of the past, I would love to do that.
Mm-hmm. You may. I'm going to give you a condition.
Yeah.
Marked by the Limehouse Lurker.
Oh, motherfucker.
But you're keeping it together. None of that blood stuff happened. That was a different timeline. And the little face is looking at you, and there's no body or anything either, as far as you can tell. That was all another thing. What do you do?
Her training kicks in, and she is going to try to get up to wherever this thing is by running up any crates. We're in a basement. I'm assuming that there are like old chairs or old furniture. She's basically going to try to.
Yeah, you can probably like jump up onto the rafters. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a get a hold of this thing as quickly as possible.
I like it. I would give you a roll, but I kind of like the idea of you get up there. Per the rules of the game, you can't really get your hands on him yet.
Fair, fair.
But he will kind of just jump out of your reach, and then he holds out to you. You see a little pale white hand stretching toward you in the darkness, holding a little bundle of gardenia, which he puts in your hands. And that's a clue.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I think that she's kind of like momentarily like stunned by this. This is not something that's happened to her before, like an offering of flowers as opposed to some sort of fight. This is a new situation for her. So I think that she's just kind of like stunned, and maybe she kind of like loses track of this thing for a second. And then like when she's looking around, he's just gone.
Yeah. Your instinct was to leap and grab. I'm going to give you an X on your hunt. And I want to know how the whole scene, the gardenia, maybe the little drips of blood. How are you getting closer to the beast? Think on it.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Melmoth. You got a miss on your information move.
Oh, a bad one.
The man in the sun mask says,
Mr. Melmoth, did I mention that I am a famous stage magician? I have performed in palaces and courts all over the world, the grandest stages. Of course, I have to wear this mask because I don't want people to understand or know that I have this little habit. But I was wondering if I could show you one of my tricks.
Please do. Diversions are always welcome.
Very well, then. Please, would you be so kind, Mr. Melmoth, as to turn around?
And here he means to face away from him.
I think Sebastian is so caught up in the moment that of course he's got to do that. Of course he will.
You can hear him unfastening the straps that keep the mask on. You can hear him taking the mask off. And he slips the mask from behind you over your face. He says, now I have to warn you. If you open your eyes, Mr. Melmoth, you might see more than you bargained for. But if you keep your eyes closed, well, you might feel something you would rather not. Do you open your eyes or keep them closed?
This is a quandary for Sebastian, because I suppose if there is one thing he enjoys more than seeing things that he shouldn't, it's feeling things that he shouldn't. So of course he's got to keep his eyes shut.
There. What you feel. What you feel is the heat of other worlds. They are baking your skin, Mr. Melmoth. They are penetrating through the epidermis, sinking into your bones and your muscles. And yet, you are at peace. You are one. You are as old and as ancient as the earth itself. Are you not, Mr. Melmoth? You are the sun-baked earth.
It is quite a remarkable sensation, but I think you do not know me as well as you believe you do, because I do not believe I have ever been at peace in my life.
Perhaps someday I shall show you to my garden, and you will be at peace, Mr. Melmoth. But for now...
He puts the mask back on and says,
but for now, you shall dream.
And I'm going to give you a condition, Sons of Another World, S-U-N-S.
Marvelous.
And let's check in with Kessler and Innes. So, Mr. Kessler, Ms. Innes gets yanked upstairs by the boy up the stairs. What are you doing right now?
I intended to follow the little captain.
Oh, so you're going with them?
Yeah.
Mr. Beale says, well, Roger, you can't just whisk away our guests like that. My goodness.
We'll be right back.
Alice, I really think you need to take that pot off of the stovetop. And he's coming downstairs.
Oh no, we're about to die in a fire.
The little boy, he takes you up and he says, I think the ghost is it's in the nursery. I think it's in there with my little sister right now.
Oh. Your little sister, she's a baby.
Yes, Mary Alice.
Mary Alice.
She's not even a year old.
Is she napping?
She doesn't sleep as much as she used to. That's what Mother says.
Would you show us?
I can take you up there, but I have to warn you. This ghost is a real mean son of a bitch.
Raleigh looks impressed. We're pretty tough ourselves. I think we can handle it.
You can tell he's visibly intrigued by the fact that you didn't chastise him for swearing.
I'll actually pull back my coat and show him the pistol. not threatening.
He sees that and his eyes widen. He's like, holy shit, look at that.
How old are you?
I'm 10. Going on 11 in 1 year.
You seem like an expert in all things ghost-like.
Yes.
Would you please shed some light on the situation and tell us what you've gathered so far?
Well, if you must know, I am thinking about, considering, indeed I've worked it all out, I'm going to start giving ghost tours of the house just to make a little extra money. Would you like to be my first customer?
Yes. We must pay you for your... I pull out a seashell and put it in his hand.
He takes the seashell and he looks at it and he's like, what the hell is this?
It's very special, let me tell you that. Comes from a magical place.
His eyes squint skeptically.
I never lie.
He looks at you, Mr. Kessler, and he's like, where'd you get her?
She's telling it straight. This is magic. This is special.
All right. He puts the shell in his pocket reluctantly. Says, fine. Okay. Well, I'll take you up to the nursery first. That's been the site of the most paranormal activity so far.
What kind of paranormal activity as we follow him?
Indeed. It's actually kind of inconvenient. The attic is reached through a very, very narrow spiraling staircase. It's very tight and small. And you actually come up through a hatch in the nursery to get up into the...
What? It's the worst design.
Tough to carry a baby down.
Yeah, no, it's terrible design.
With baby.
I just see someone scooching down the,
okay,
the spiraling staircase.
You get up into the nursery, and Roger's just prattling on about all kinds of nonsense. None of it's very useful.
No, we like him. He's great.
The attic has been transformed into a nursery, and there's just a little bit of light, afternoon light, coming in through the small windows on either end. showing that it's been decorated in soft pastel colors. Weirdly, as you get up the hatch on one end of the nursery, this large attic space, the crib is all the way on the other side, on the far end of the attic. By itself, not surrounded by any other furniture. Let's paint the scene. Everyone, how do we know the ghost is there with Miss Innes and Mr. Kessler right now?
Baby's floating. No. It's freezing in the attic.
I feel like this is a classic, but like there must be like a little rocking horse toy, right? That's moving on its own right now.
The candle that's lighting your way just gutters, despite the fact there's no draft in the room.
It feels like a tiny hand wraps around our fingers and is pulling us toward the crib.
Creepy, but also cute.
That's the theme today.
You hear a voice from the other end, from the crib. Have you come to see me? Have you come to see the little baby? Ms. Archer, how can you tell you're getting closer to the beast?
I think at this point, it's more of kind of a mental closeness as opposed to like a like closer to tracking, specifically tracking the beast down. Her entire life, the story of this beast that was told to her was kind of a, and monsters in general, they're like unthinking beasts, they're creatures, but like they don't have either what we would consider to be like sentience or like intelligence in the way that a human does. But the more kind of monsters that she's encountered, the more she begins to realize like that's not a complete picture. And this little thing saying, I don't know what to do now, like showing uncertainty and then offering a gift, question mark, it's kind of completing this image of like, okay, I need to continue to kind of like adapt my hunting techniques because the information given to me by my family about this beast is not accurate.
Nice. Thank you. Mr. Melmoth. The man in the sun mask says,
before you go, Mr. Melmoth, I know why you're here, and I might know something about that. This is actually where they found Soft Jimmy, in this particular little room.
He reaches up for what appears to be like a, where it's like a little cloth, a silk cloth he has hung up on the wall, and he pulls it down.
This was found on the wall. Soft Jimmy was laying here beneath it.
And the wall is a surprisingly good charcoal rendering of a Roman phalanx. That's a clue for the Limehouse Lurker.
Oh, fantastic. Before we disengage from the scene, I would like to perhaps turn the tables a little bit on our masked friend. I'm not appreciatively at that. And, well, thank you. Yes, yes. Very interesting. Very interesting indeed. But, well, interesting. Let's talk about interesting, because you strike me as a man who works hard at being interesting. I suppose I should be the last person to complain about someone being affected, and yet... yet I am. But these stories you tell of yourself, these... I'm sorry, you're a member of the royal family, you're a stage magician, you're absolutely everything, aren't you?
I believe I said...
That's the thing, an interesting person, a genuinely interesting person, doesn't have to manufacture ways of being interesting. You, my friend, I dare say... are probably the dullest person in this establishment.
He has a bemused twinkle that you can see in his eyes behind the mask. He says,
you're right. You've caught me out, Mr. Melmoth. I'll tell you the truth about who I really am.
Don't bother, I'll say. I would only be a disappointment. And I'm angling for Taketh away. I want to destroy him.
Ooh. Oh, interesting. Intriguing, intriguing. Is it possible to destroy the man in the sun mask in this way? Physically, spiritually, or socially? I'm not sure if spiritually and socially we're kind of getting there a little bit.
That's what I was aiming for.
How can you tell, looking at his eyes behind the mask, that you have hit a nerve?
I think for all his affected aloofness and self-assuredness, that Sebastian can just catch that slight change in reflection that indicates the welling of tears in the corners of his eyes.
That'll be enough to trigger the roll then. Roll with vitality, please. Scar your reflection and roll with vitality.
Oh, yes. That would be a 10.
Nice. On a 10 plus, choose two from your list.
Let's go for, you may take something from your victim and add it to your personal quarters. And I'm going to do that twice, if I may, because I want both his robe and his mask.
Oh, very interesting indeed. I'll let you take it twice, absolutely. I don't even know if we need to like role play this scene. Mm-hmm. I think it's enough to simply take the mask and the robe. I will tell you, though, you have triggered a special rule in the game.
Fantastic.
When you remove the man in the sun mask's mask and look at what lies behind it, you stare into the infinite. Make the night move. What are you afraid is going to happen if you don't keep it together here, Mr. Melmoth?
I think that it is going to crack Sebastian's veneer of coolness, that he is so used to being the most interesting person and thing in the room, being the center of attention, that it just hasn't even occurred to him that there could be something more important than himself, and facing up to that isn't going to go well for him.
It's worse than that. You don the mask and come to believe you are the sun.
Oh.
And perhaps that gets you put in bedlam. Perhaps you wander off into the world trying to become a god. But I do think it is the end of the road for Mr. Melmoth and Hargrave House. If you wish to continue, roll with, I'm going to say, sensitivity.
That seems fair.
I'm going to put you at a disadvantage because of Sons of Another World as well.
Amazing.
Yeah, considering I just rolled a 3, this feels like a mask situation. Well, in more than one way.
I think when you pull off the mask, what you see in the face of the man in the sun mask is, you see the timeline, you see the outcome, you see the reality that you're going to avoid by putting on your own mask. What happens that we don't, that doesn't come to pass, Mr. Melmoth? Think on it. We'll come back to this. Ms. Ennis, Mr. Kessler. Ms. Ennis, you know the ghost tricks. And so when the ghost starts talking about seeing the baby, that doesn't bother you so much. But Mr. Kessler, this is the first time you've experienced it. I want the night move because you're in the dark attic instead of the day move. What are you afraid is going to happen if you lose your nerve right now, Mr. Kessler?
Oh, God, can I say it? I think I'm going to shoot the baby.
Oh, I thought you were saying you're going to turn into a werewolf.
Yeah, me too. It's just never.
But shooting the baby is.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
That's so much worse than what we all imagine. And yet somehow not at all surprising, you know? Yeah, okay.
It is cut of our brand at this stage.
I just want to hear how it's worse than that.
I don't know. I don't think it is.
Can I offer a worse than?
Please do. What is it?
I feel that Moria would jump in front of the baby.
Oh, that's if you don't mind sacrificing yourself like that. Yeah, absolutely.
And the bullet still goes through and hits the baby.
Kills them both. Yeah, amazing.
Okay, if you wish to continue searching this space, Mr. Kessler, you must make the roll with composure, I'm going to say. And you don't have any conditions, so you get to at least make it clean.
Oh, that's nice. Composure, I also have a one, so that's good.
And I tell you, it's just a baby.
Ooh, 13.
Oh, hell yeah.
You'll keep it together. And while you're walking about the space, you'll all hear in the distance downstairs a ring, 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 ring. Beals have a caller at 18 St. James's Street. And of course, Roger says, I'll go see who it is. And he like runs down the stairs, you know. Bup, 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 bup. And that maybe breaks the tension of the moment a little bit as well.
Reholster the gun, yeah.
Indeed, yeah. So what do you do?
We should approach the baby, right?
Yeah, let's see. This, you talked about this. This is the same thing that happened the other night, right? The baby was talking to you?
Yes, I think this is the same one that visited us.
That's good.
Perhaps.
Is there an attic window we could see the caller, or are they obscured by the porch?
The angle's not right. You can't quite see who's down there or whatever.
Got it.
You do hear the front door shut, though, so whoever it is, it must be finished or whatever.
Okay.
We should hurry. We're here to talk, I say to the baby.
You hear coming up the stairs, is Roger again. He says, are either of you with Hargrave House?
I look at Mr. Kessler for guidance, because I'm a terrible liar.
Who did you just talk to, Captain?
It was a delivery boy. He dropped this off for someone who they said was going to be here from Hargrave House.
Oh, yes, indeed. Much obliged. He'll grab it from his hands.
He hands you a beautiful sapphire blue velvet box tied with a blue ribbon.
The same sapphire as that dress I saw through the...
The exact match in color.
It's beautiful. Is this for you? It's not really my style.
I don't know about... style, but it looks like perhaps it's from the woman I saw.
There's a card on the box. It says, for the little one.
I look towards, like, the crib. What do you think this means?
What's inside?
Yeah, let's open the box.
Inside is a baby rattle. Encrusted with blue gemstones.
Well, it's a gift for the child. Should we just give it to them?
Let's look at the child first. And then we can decide.
Okay. Oh, we're approaching.
We mean you no harm, little baby.
Miss Archer, once you're done with the basement, you've made your notes on the body, you've been gifted a bundle of gardenia from the Limehouse Lurker. What do you do?
She emerges from the basement, kind of taking notes, like writing down everything she can remember about the appearance of the the friend. And I think that she's looking for Sebastian.
And I think that sounds good to me. Let's check in on Sebastian. Sebastian, what do you glimpse that you turn away from ultimately?
What it is... a future in which Sebastian does succumb to the appeal of the mask and the robe, becomes this embodiment of the sun, because he just sees it as being a natural extension of who he is, that he burns with this divine effulgence anyway, so why not? Why not become the living embodiment of the sun? Why not? But the problem is that fundamentally the sun is greater than him, that perhaps ironically it eclipses him, and that really isn't for Sebastian at all. He needs to be the one that shines.
I love it.
I haven't said what the mask I was using was to get out of this, have I? Is everyone all right with me triggering the Mask of the Sun, which is the one for this threat?
Oh, yes. It's well-timed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it seems entirely appropriate.
That makes sense, yeah.
I'll read that for everybody. The Mask of the Sun, now that it's marked, each hunter, all of you, must narrate a dream you once had, a dream of primordial Earth. Back in time across the ancient seas, back in time when the spirits walked, when the sun was new and the old gods held court. So you're all responsible for that at some point. But we can continue with the scene.
Sure.
Ms. Archer, you can find Mr. Melmoth with a golden bundle under his arms.
Walks in. Oh, there you are. Well, I've had a moment? What have you been up to?
Making new friends.
Same. I believe I may have seen a culprit. Someone involved, anyway, in the disturbances that have happened here.
Oh, yes, sorry. There were murders, weren't there? Sorry, I quite slipped my mind.
Just a few, I understand. Viola will explain everything that happened downstairs. Unfortunately, he got away.
Oh dear. I'm sure we'll encounter it again.
What have you got there? Gesturing at the little bundle.
Just some keepsakes. If you're very lucky, I may model them for you later.
I look forward to it. Mr. Melmoth, I have to go talk to a child at the school. You're welcome to join me if you wish, but your presence is not required.
My presence is always required, my dear.
How silly of me, of course, yes. let's go then.
Fantastic. Moira and Mr. Kessler, or Ms. Innes and Mr. Kessler, sounds like you are approaching the crib.
Mm-hmm.
As you approach, the voice from the crib continues to speak. What's that you have there in your hands? Is it something for me? Is it something for the little baby?
Yes, it's a gift. And I think I pick it up and like rattle it.
Ooh.
Bring it closer to me. Bring it closer to the little baby.
I don't know if we should do this, Miss Innes. It's awfully eager. It kind of reminds me of you at the bath.
It's very, very cold in the attic right now. It is like plummeting temperature.
And eagerness is bad.
When it's a ghost, yes. Can I just go pull the blanket from the crib?
If you just stride right up,
mm-hmm.
You'll see Mary Alice, the baby, standing up in the crib, and she's just sort of ooing and aahing, goo-goo, ga-ga baby noises.
Huh. I don't think you should give that to the baby, but it's your decision. I've got my gun ready.
It's a gift for the baby. I'm gonna walk up.
The baby will reach out for the rattle, drawn by the, you know, the dazzling nature of it.
Yeah, and I think I'm dazzled by what is actually a baby right now.
It is a baby, yeah.
And we'll hand it to the baby and sort of like go to like almost even touch it as well.
Roger says, she's kind of ugly, isn't she? I mean, I'm just saying, I've seen a lot of babies, and she's kind of ugly.
No, she's just precious. Come on, Roger, be cool.
That's what all babies look like. You're all very wrinkly.
I don't think I was that ugly when I was born.
Well, maybe we can look at some photos on the way out. I'm kind of like walking toward Roger and pushing him toward the stairs.
Right. While you're doing that and stepping away, can I try like picking up the baby?
You can, yeah.
Oh, boy.
She's fine.
Okay, great.
And she babbles in baby speak. Perfectly normal baby.
And yeah, I think I'll turn and like kind of show Mr. Kessler like, see?
Her baby.
Oh my God.
Wait, no, is this not normal for a baby?
It's definitely not.
She looks great. Are you still in there? Like talking almost through the baby.
I think at this point, Ms. Ennis, you can go ahead and make the information move with, I'm going to say composure, because presumably okay. You're also trying to learn something about the ghost while you handle the baby.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm trying to see, like, is there a ghost in here? Is this just a baby? Yeah, or are they just, like, using the baby? I don't know. Hiding behind the crib.
Let me take a look at your conditions. Your conditions. Oh, you don't have any right now.
Yeah, no conditions right now.
2d6 plus composure.
Plus composure, which is 0. Okay. 7. Wait, what do I need?
7 or higher is all you need.
Okay, 7.
You'll get a clue. There'll be a complication on that clue. I'll think about what that is here in a moment.
Okay.
Let me check back in with Ms. Archer and Mr. Melmoth at the Limehouse School. The Limehouse School is not actually a school. It's a workhouse. When you arrive at this workhouse, you see filthy children all over the place. There is a frustrated mistress or whatever storming away from a group of girls who are busy not learning how to sew. The quite strong smell of unwashed bodies. Let's paint the scene, everyone. Workhouses like this are where poor children are sent to be managed until they're old enough to be turned out. What signs of deprivation do we see?
There's like a wall that has like etched days that someone has had to have gone to this school, this workhouse.
All their clothing is way too big. Like they're gaunt now. They've lost a lot of weight working in here.
Like 3/4 of them they're not wearing shoes.
Even the teenagers are missing teeth.
No one will stop you both from walking in. Mr. Melmoth, how do you feel about being here?
Sebastian, as soon as he's got within sniffing distance of the school, has ostentatiously pulled out a silk handkerchief that is soaked in cologne and is now walking through the place with this over his mouth.
I love it. Ms. Archer, what's your approach here?
The kind of income situation for Hargrave House, would we have just extra cash on us?
Yeah, you're all considered to be like very wealthy people.
Rad.
Maybe not Miss Innes as much, but and Mr. Kessler pretends like he's not, but
he's got them soft hands. Yeah. Okay, Viola's just gonna walk straight up to whatever person looks like they're in charge, so that like frustrated looking woman, and I think she'll just kind of pull out like a handful of coins and kind of thrust them at this woman and just say, there was a child here that discovered a body a few days back. I would like to speak to them, please.
Make the information move with presence?
Oh, no. I'm super bad at that one. Oh, God. I rolled a 2.
Oh, God.
Indeed. So you shove this money into this surprised woman's face. And you overhear from across the way. Excuse me. Hello. Excuse me. Hi. A man in a brown 3-piece suit approaches you. He says, I'm Lawrence Chesterfield, the headmaster here at the Limehouse School. I think it's best if you deal with me instead. And he takes the money and pockets it.
Very well.
Yeah, just like hands over this guy.
Now, what is this all about then?
There was a young child who discovered a body recently. I would like to speak to them.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, here in Limehouse, stumbling over a body is not an entirely uncommon thing, I'm afraid to report. But yes, yes, I think I know what you're talking about, Ms. Ms. I can catch your name, Ms.
I did not give it. Where is this child?
All right.
Sebastian has never liked Viola more.
That's what the money's for.
All right. Yes, okay. Down to business then. Very well. I, of course, would be happy to tell you everything I know. But I'm so, so busy. I mean, look at all of these lovely children that I have to deal with. And perhaps if you were to come by tonight, maybe we could meet at a fine little dining establishment that maybe we could meet at and talk about dead bodies in alleyways.
You'll have to forgive me. I have no idea whether or not you are propositioning me or not, but no, resoundingly no.
Miss Archer, of course he's flirting with you. Can't you see the desperation in the man's eyes? He's putting everything he has into this, and it is, I suppose, oddly heartwarming in the way that one might feel moved at the sight of an injured puppy dragging itself along the gutter.
As soon as he sees Mr. Melmoth, he pushes past you, Miss Archer, and says, well, hello. And how are you, sir?
Discomforted. This place is appalling.
It is. It's the children, you know. They're dreadful.
They are. They very much are.
They really are. That's what I've been saying.
I think Violet's getting impatient. Yes, they are dreadful, aren't they? I'm sure that what Mr. Melmoth would love to know is which child was it that found this body? That would make him very happy, wouldn't it?
I suppose so.
We're playing good cop, hot cop.
Mm-hmm. Bad cop, hot cop. Yeah. Let's cut for a moment back over to the house. So you were picking up the baby. You did get a 7+ on your...
Yes.
I haven't given you the clue yet, I gather.
Not yet.
I think the moment you pick up the baby, you see a little glass figurine of a tiger that's on a little table begin to shake and vibrate by itself, and then it gets shoved off the table and smashes. That's the clue.
Do you not like when I hold you?
There's no response. Except the room is getting very, very cold.
I think I kind of just hold onto the baby tighter.
Roger says, oh, it's colder than a witch's tit in here.
Does it ever get this cold in your experience, little man?
It's always cold up here. He says, I think it's the ghost.
Yeah, that's what we were thinking too.
Makes sense.
Miss Ennis, I don't think our ghost likes you holding the baby.
Well, but I'm worried for it. It's just a baby. It's so small, it can't defend itself.
I agree, but I think the ghost likes the baby, but I'm not sure that it likes us.
All right. Put the baby back down.
As you go to put the baby back down, you can't shake the fact that it's so, so cold in the nursery now.
Yeah.
And because you got a 7 to 9 on your roll, I'm going to give you just a slight complication. I think you actually brush off frost from your hair.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That, like, crumbles down.
Yeah, because it was, like, probably still wet from the baths, too. It's probably, like...
I think you're just always kind of wet, as a general matter.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to give you a condition. Spectral rime. R-I-M-E.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay, yeah.
How is the baby not going to freeze?
We can swaddle it.
I make sure that the rattle's in its hand, and I even, like, you know, shake it a few times for it. And I'm like, there you go.
She's kind of dim. Like, you can, like, snap your fingers in front of her face. I'm not sure she's even aware of it.
The baby or me?
The baby.
I just see Rowan snapping his fingers in front of Miss Ennis.
Thick as two short planks, telling you.
I'll kind of make some hand gestures in front of the baby's face. Like, does she follow?
The baby's fine. Roger's just very mean to the baby. Yeah.
Oh, my God. But
Roger, she's so small. You were like this, too. You were a baby once.
She's okay.
Ay, ay, ay. Siblings.
Roger, you must get bored around here. Maybe, you know, one afternoon you could come kind of watch what we do over at the Hargrave house.
Oh, yes. But first of all, a question of grave import. How much does it pay?
I think that's got to be worth at least another seashell.
Oh, brother. And he goes downstairs.
Okay. Roger's kind of an asshole.
Yes, he is. The tiger figurine, like, it shattered, right?
It shattered, yeah.
I go over to all of the glass pieces and see if there's, like, anything more significant about that.
Oh, I'll give you a little extra layer on that clue. When you go to pick it up, it's back on the table, fully formed.
We've already tried speaking to you. Why don't you just tell us what you want?
I'll, like, hold the tiger in my hand.
Yeah, I think the ghost is done.
All right, well, did you notice the Beals don't seem to care much about this baby? I mean, we've made an awful lot of noise up here.
And it's very difficult to come up here.
That's true. The baby basically takes care of itself. Well, let's head back down. Maybe we can talk to Mr. Beal and figure out what the hell's going on.
We shouldn't take the baby, should we?
I think that might cause problems for us.
It seems to be unclaimed.
You want to take it and keep it? I thought you meant take it downstairs.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's take it downstairs. Maybe that'll help us ask good questions.
All right.
And I'm going back to the baby.
It takes us 20 minutes to get down the staircase with the baby.
Yeah. I'm going to try to take the baby out of this room.
I think when you go to pick up the baby, there's nothing in the crib.
Oh.
I would like for you, Miss Ennis, to make the night move. What are you afraid is going to happen right now if you lose your nerve?
If I lose my nerve, I think that I will be so distracted by this, like, I won't be able to leave until I find this baby in this attic.
I think it's worse than that. I think you will become obsessed with caring for the baby.
Okay.
Roll with sensitivity, and I'm not going to make the spectral rhyme affect you just yet.
Okay. 7 total with the sensitivity.
You've got it under control. I'm going to give you a condition.
Oh, no.
Here we go. I just keep stagging them on.
Lost and found. That's what we're going to call it. Because as soon as you turn back around, you both see Mary Alice crawling around in the threshold, or the little, like, near the hatch entrance of the nursery.
That seems safe.
Yeah, I'm unsure if we're going to be able to take her out.
Maybe we should close the hatch so she doesn't fall down these crazy stairs they put here.
Sure.
Okay. We'll seal the baby in.
Very good, very good. That feels like a good conclusion to your day phase.
Oh my God.